Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Revelation chapter number 1. We left off in verse number 12 last week, and we'll pick up there again. John is on the Isle of Patmos, and we learn that he's there because, as a prisoner of the Lord, for the Lord, I should say, there because he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Domitian, about AD 96 or so, placed him on this island. And we looked at that verse number 9, and I enjoyed looking at that again last week, where we know that word is for, is because he preached. He's a prisoner there because he's been preaching the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But also, remember I mentioned last week that what men mean for evil, God means for good. And God can turn anything around and do it for good. We just studied Joseph. Remember how he was cast into the pit, but we know the end of the story and the end of Genesis. He makes that statement about what men meant for evil, God means for good. And that's the case here, I believe, with John, even though he was there because he was been preaching the gospel. But he was also on that island with all those prisoners that he was able to preach the gospel. So God could take something bad and make it good. So that's where John is. And he saw, verse number 10, he was there on the Lord's day and he heard a great voice. And the voice spoke to him. And in verse number 12, he turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Notice that, I want you to notice this is a voice that John had recognized, even though he hadn't heard it for over 60 years. It was his Savior, even though it was we see that it was a great voice in verse number 10, a voice as of a trumpet. It was a loud voice, a voice now Jesus is speaking with great authority. And so he turns to see that voice. But notice the first thing that John writes that he saw was not so much the voice, but he saw 7 golden candlesticks. When he turned to see the one who was speaking to him, and he's recognizing that voice, the first thing he sees is these 7 golden candlesticks. Now we read in verse number 20, I'm going to try to get there today, that those candlesticks represented the 7 churches, about the ones that he was about to write this letter to. Notice that these were 7 separate freestanding lampstands, unlike the menorah. You're familiar with the menorah that we read about in the Old Testament, in the temple and the tabernacle. That the menorah had one lampstand with one main candle holder, so to speak, in the middle, and then 3 on either side. There were 7 candle holders on this menorah, but it was one lampstand. Nonetheless, it was just one fixture, if I could use that term, so you have it in your mind, a menorah. But the candlesticks that John saw, they were separate, but they were equal. I find that very interesting. And the interesting fact about these candlesticks, or lampstands that you could call them, is that the light that they give off didn't come from themselves. They were the candle holders. The light came from the oil. That's what gives the light. They were just the ones that would hold the oil in the lamps. The light came from the oil in the lamps. The stands merely make the light more visible. And there's a picture there that we can see. It's a picture of our church here at Westwood and other churches that we don't produce the light. We don't produce the light. We simply display it. I hope you get that. And Jesus is in the midst of these 7 golden candlesticks. And in Matthew chapter number 5, I read this last week for something different, but yet it fits with what we're talking about this morning, where verse number 14, Jesus is speaking, Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the purpose of these candlesticks was to show the light. They're to give in light, to the light to a dark world. And that's the picture that we see here. And that it is through the Lord's churches that God receives glory. Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God receives glory through his church. And that's why we see the picture in verse number 12, that he sees the seven golden candlesticks, represents those seven churches that we're going to read about. And then verse number 13, I like this. He's in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks. What a thought. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 20 tells us this. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we see Jesus standing in the midst of these candlesticks, which represents the churches. And then Jesus is in Matthew 18. He literally said that I'm in the midst of them. We're talking about a church. If it's just two or three, I'm in the midst of them. And then notice that next statement in verse number 13. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to the foot and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Notice he says, like unto the Son of Man. John recognized that voice. He saw the seven golden candlesticks, and then he saw in the midst of those seven golden candlesticks, the Son of Man, who we know was Jesus Christ himself. Matter of fact, the term Son of Man was Christ's favorite term for himself. He used it. Jesus used that term for himself over 80 times in the four Gospels. He loved that term. He referred to himself as the Son of Man over 80 times, more than any other term that he had used. And John had heard Jesus use that term many times, obviously, and that's why he said, it's him, like the Son unto the Son of Man. It's interesting. One author wrote this, and I'm quoting him. Through Jesus is a true man. He is only like unto the Son of Man. He was not born of the union of a sinful man and a sinful woman, but he was divinely deceived and virgin born. Jesus was made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:7, and was made unto the likeness of his brethren, Hebrews 2:17, unquote. Literally what he's saying here, Jesus is the Son of Man. He was fully man and he was fully God. He wasn't half man and half God, but yet he was fully man and fully God. And notice, speaks of his garment. And then in verse number 14, we'll read 14 and 15 in along with this. He was clothed with a garment down to the foot and a girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And this is how John saw Jesus Christ. Okay. It's interesting. He was clothed with a garment down to his feet. Robes were worn by prophets, by priests, and by kings. In the Old Testament, when Zechariah chapter 3, verse number 4, speaks of the priestly robe, and you're familiar with the attire of the Old Testament priests, they wore robes. Also, prophets, and then we see the priest with the priestly robes. So there's prophets wore robes, priests wore robes, and then kings wore robes. 1 Samuel 24, verses 5 and 12 speak of kings wearing robes. It's interesting to note that Jesus represents all three of these. He was prophet, priest, and he's king. So it speaks of his authority. Also, notice he's girt about his paps with a golden girdle. Now, the word paps is an old word that nobody uses anymore, but it literally means his breast, okay? Exodus 39, 1 through 5 says that there were golden threads in the band that went around the chest or the body of the high priest there in Israel. But Jesus had much more than a few golden threads around him. Literally, his was solid gold. When we read about that he was girt about with paps with a golden girdle, his breast was around his robe. It was that golden girdle, which literally talked about not just his authority, but his power.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.